You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Anthony Irwin is not here today, and as a thank you for that, or if you want to thank me personally for that, you can follow me on Twitter at @HMFagan. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Panoply, Megaphone, Today's Fast Break, Lakers Nation, Lakers Outsiders, Spotify, pretty much anywhere podcasts are bought or sold or distributed or however you're getting your podcasts, you can find us on there. And if you can't, then feel free to tweet at Anthony and I, and we'll try to get ourselves on that platform. So the reason I'm talking so much is because I am here by myself right now. I'm going to solo host this show. A little bit later on, I'm going to have Bryant Fries, who is also with me at Lakers Nation, covering the G League, on to talk a little bit of G League stuff. But really quickly, I want to talk about tonight's game, because I thought that it was honestly the best the Lakers have played this season, arguably, in a lot of ways. Lonzo, this wasn't Lonzo's best game. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but I just thought overall this might have been the best team effort that the Lakers showed, because they came out and they got, like, stomped in that first quarter. And the first thing that I was thinking to myself as they started to come back was, okay, is this going to be a real comeback or a fake comeback? And it was a very real comeback. They made it all the way back. They came down to the buzzer. Damian Lillard had to hit three to beat them. And the way that the Lakers didn't just kind of cave and didn't just, like, die when the Blazers went up by that much was notable to me, because this was the type of game that last year the Lakers, they would have just wilted. They would have just played out the stretch, and, you know, maybe they would have made a cute little run in the fourth quarter when the other team stopped trying, and we would have said, oh, you know, the Lakers showed so much promise down the stretch, and that's why the young guys, there's still potential and stuff like that. But this really is almost more indicative of their potential, because they just didn't quit. They kept playing. Brandon Ingram was really good tonight. 14 points, 5 of 11 shooting, played pretty good defense at times. Brook Lopez, obviously not a young player, so we'll skip him for now. Lonzo Ball, 0 of 2 from the field. He didn't distribute the ball all that well, 4 assists, but he somehow had the Lakers' highest plus-minus at plus 10. That's not a perfect stat, but I didn't think that Ball was as bad as everybody was saying. I thought he was actually pretty good defensively at a lot of times, and he really kept the ball moving. He initiated the Lakers' offense. He kept his turnovers down. He only had one, and the Lakers as a team actually did a really, really good job with turnovers and only had 11, and they were pretty good on turnovers in the first half as well, and that's kind of how they were able to make their comeback and be so effective. And I think that a lot of that is you're seeing the influence of Lonzo, because even though he didn't have high assist numbers, even though he didn't shoot the ball well, he missed both of his shots, I think you're seeing the Lakers' passing offense improve, and you're seeing him not make poor decisions and force passes and force turnovers just because he's not racking up assists that night. And what the Lakers did, rather than try and ping the ball around and fire up a bunch of threes, was we finally saw them have some effectiveness as far as half-court offense, because their defense wasn't really working tonight. Like, shock of all shocks, they were not going to be one of the best defensive teams in the league all year, and they got absolutely lit up by the Blazers, especially in the first half. And they were able to counter, not in the way that they normally have, with quick-hitting outlet passes and getting out on the break and dunking and shooting threes. And they came back with Brook Lopez, who definitely, he had his career, he had a season high with 27 points, and he was just really effective overall tonight as far as in the half court, and he gave them an option to go to that wasn't going to turn the ball over, that was going to be able to get a pretty good shot, and he was able to help them not only come back, but then compete with the Blazers down the stretch. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that it was easily his best game of the season. He played pretty good defensively as well, especially late in the game. He had that late block, and he just looked really good, and it was exactly the type of stuff that Magic and Rob Pelinka were talking about that they were expecting from him going into the season, and he hadn't really shown it that much yet, and he finally showed that tonight. So I think that was a huge key in the Lakers being as effective as they were. And then another guy that I thought that really impressed me tonight was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and he just that shot that he, that turnaround three that he hit to almost help the Lakers stay in that game and almost get a chance to win it was incredible. But I thought his defense was really good tonight. He shot the ball really well. And again, it's another one of those veteran guys. He and Lopez played exactly like the Lakers wanted them to play as far as how they talked them up in their free agency or trade press conferences. And if they can keep that kind of stuff up going forward, and if Brandon Ingram can play like this, where he has 14 points on 11 shots, was pretty efficient overall, was pretty good. And the Laker, and like if Lonzo even has a passable game rather than just like a, you know, like a pretty bad one that just didn't end up being that harmful as far as shooting, then the Lakers can be pretty good on those nights. And the Blazers, they aren't a good defensive team, so you kind of have to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. But again, it just goes back to the fact that the Lakers being able to stay in this game tonight showed me a lot, especially with how down they were to start the game and then overcoming the adversity of Larry Nance Jr. breaking his thumb and being able to stay in it. And then I said all of this without even mentioning Kyle Kuzma, who is again incredible with a career high 22 points. I think that we're going to keep hearing the term career high as it applies to him going forward, because I would imagine now in Nance's absence, that's obviously unfortunate for him, but it's going to give Kuzma a chance to get even more minutes, really light it up. I would, again, as I've been advocating all year, probably say that he should be in the starting lineup, but that's also not for me to decide. So before I just send in my application for Lakers head coach and just fully go that route, because I know some people have had some problems with Anthony doing that lately, I'm going to go ahead and throw to my talk with Bryant. We talked about Thomas Bryant and everything G League, just to kind of give it a change of pace, because we've talked about the Lakers and the minutia of the game-to-game so much lately that Bryant and I went to South Bay Lakers Media Day today, and we talked about what we learned, what we expect from that team, how it can kind of be an incubator for talent for the Lakers, and I really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope you will too. I'll talk to you guys on the other side. All right, so I am here with Bryant Freese, newly of Lakers Nation, who just got back from covering South Bay Lakers Media Day with me. We are recording in a very professional studio that is definitely not the back room of my parents' house, as we are leaning over a mic on a small table. And for legal reasons, I can no longer call you my intern, but you've been off the podcast for a long time. How's it going, Bryant?
Going great. I'm so excited that you can no longer call me your intern. Like, that's the happiest day of my life.
I'm glad that I can make your day so good. And there was another Bryant who was pretty happy today at Lakers Media Day, and that's Thomas Bryant. And so as our Bryant consultant, like, we had to get rid of you once Kobe was no longer with the team, but now that there is another Bryant back,
That's why I was gone for so long, because yeah, there was no Bryant.
There was no, so, you were our official Bryant beat writer.
So I got to make sure that Thomas Bryant gets to the Lakers and stays with them for a very long time.
Yes, it's so why do you think that he would have a chance to stay with them for a long time? Like, is there anything that you've seen from him so far through summer league, preseason, whatever? Like how are you going to best accomplish this goal of getting him to stay with the team?
How am I going to accomplish it? I'm not going to do anything. But he, I mean, he's just this player with a lot of energy, you know. I mean, he's not going to fill out the stat sheet really any night, especially in today's NBA where, you know, it's so up and down, fast paced. But he's a guy that you can tell brings a lot of energy every night. And he's started to step out a little bit, you know, starting to shoot that three a little bit.
Yeah, he shot it in college.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he can hit a couple of threes here and there, he can be a Brook Lopez type guy. Well, not as good offensively, but he can be a solid NBA player if he just develops a little bit more. He's still a young guy, so he has a long way to go, but he's a decent player.
Yeah, I think the energy that you're talking about is something that was kind of evident at the media day today, not just in people talking about it. And so when you ask pretty much anyone what had impressed them most about him so far, I think Vanderblue went on and on about how he was impressed with Thomas's motor. And like, for a young player, that's not always the compliment that guys give them. Usually the compliment is like, he has natural talent, or he's like naturally good at this, or this has impressed me. But usually it's not work ethic, because usually usually young players don't know how to work that hard yet. They just haven't had to experience that. So the fact that everybody was praising his hustle, I think, could be a promising sign. And then we also saw that energy when he decided to join our media scrum to try and mess with Vander a little bit. I mean, he comes off as kind of like a giant kid. He's very like affable and kind of fun to be around.
He does. And if anyone hasn't, you got to go look at Harrison's Instagram. I'm sure he posted on Twitter. It is quite possibly the greatest photo of all time.
It's definitely the best photo of me ever taken, which is like not a high bar to clear.
Yeah, not at all. But but it is Thomas Bryant and Harrison really shared a moment together. And I'm pretty sure you guys are best friends now. I could be wrong, but
It's unfortunate for you because previously that was kind of you, but now you have been supplanted. It was you and my dog.
I'm not like even right the highest there. Bryant anymore.
No, you're not. Yeah. That's really unfortunate. I'm sorry. But yeah, I actually think that he could be pretty good. Like, his summer league said a lot to me in that he was, as a big man, able to have an immediate impact, which if you're not just a hyper athletic big man is generally not the case in summer league. And kind of everybody thought, I think, going into Las Vegas, that if Bryant was going to make the team, if Bryant was going to make a difference as a second round pick, it was going to be because of this kind of intriguing 3-point skill set he showed at Indiana, where he shot around league average from three, not on that many attempts, but it was like a promising mold of clay that he still kind of has to fill out, and he still does have to fill out. But the way that he had effect in summer league was that hustle that they talked about, and he was just always running, he was always moving, and it was almost like a lower rent Kuzma in a way. Like, Kuzma was obviously better at running and more able to run, but it was the same way that Bryant had effectiveness. And that's something that I think the Lakers organization as a whole, both the parent team and the South Bay team, are definitely talking about, as far as like they want guys who can run because they want to push tempo. I think Kobe Carl today, no, it was Alex Caruso, said today that they literally don't want to run a play. That if they could just fast break every single play, that would be their goal.
And Kobe even said himself, like, they don't have that many plays. Like, yeah. As Alex said, they don't want to, and so they don't have very many plays. And if Bryant can be a really good player on the pick and roll too, I mean, that's just another bonus, because I mean, you see when he goes to the rim, he had a few big dunks in summer league. So that's another thing he can do with this game. And like you said, people thought it was interesting on the like how he can shoot the three, but he didn't really shoot that many threes. I mean, he took a couple, but I don't know how many exactly, but that wasn't the part of his game that he focused on, which is good to see, because a lot of times with big guys that do learn how to shoot the three nowadays, that's all they want to do then. They want to step out and shoot the threes, but he still wants to do the dirty work and set picks and run the floor and get to the rim, which is good to see.
Yeah, he 100% knows his role and that's how he's going to get minutes.
I'm most upset, though, that we didn't get to ask him about the waffles in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Alex Caruso and Vander Blue both brought up how there was a waffle bar in Vegas, and we asked them what their waffles were like, and they all said to talk to Thomas Bryant about his waffles,
but so,
we were
unable. Any Lakers beat writers listening to this podcast right now, because I'm not sure when I'm going to be with the team next. I'm pretty sure they're on the road, and like I've been busy and haven't been able to go to many practices. Somebody needs to ask Thomas Bryant about whatever he is putting on his waffles, because it's unique enough that every single member of the South Bay Lakers that was at Summer League shouted out his waffle-making prowess from their apparent pregame waffle bar that they had, which is a detail that I guess Alex Caruso just gave us that hadn't really gotten out from Summer League yet, was that they were eating at a waffle. He said he was more of an omelet guy, but I don't know. Like, what could he potentially be putting on his waffles that is like
A bunch of fruit, and I don't know what else goes on waffles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that they were so flabbergasted by it, like, I'm wondering,
there had to have been, like, candy. Maybe there's chocolate. Maybe it had, melted chocolate on it. My mind's running right now with all the possibilities, and I really want to know. Like, I'm going to be up at night until I learn what Thomas Bryant had on his waffles.
This is, like, honestly, might be the most important journalistic work that either of us ever do. This is our spotlight.
I mean, I got a coach fired, but this is way more important. Okay.
we got to move on from Thomas Bryant, and we're definitely going to talk about the rest of the South Bay Lakers and kind of what we expect from that team in a second. So, I think
that, let's get back to the pace, because I think this is an interesting thing to me. Like, Luke Walton has talked about that he doesn't think that the Lakers are playing fast-paced enough, and the South Bay Lakers, generally teams' G League outfits are like a faster version of the parent team, because the G League is just faster paced. There are less traditional big men that can make a difference, and so the best way to be effective is smaller small ball, almost, where teams are just going five out, basically, and trying to get as many threes up, trying to get as many steals and deflections as they can get, and just get out and run on the break. And I honestly do not know if it is humanly possible for the South Bay Lakers to play a G League version of how the Lakers play, just because it's, they might not ever have to run a play if they play like that. And it's kind of an interesting thing for me, because Thomas Bryant, like, he's like a guy like him, if he gets sent down, like, that might be kind of tough, I think.
I mean, but as we talked about, he does run the floor pretty well for a big man. So,
you covered the D League with me last year, too. It's like, it's fast.
It's
like,
really fast, but we saw Ivica do pretty well down there. I mean, we saw him struggle at times. Sometimes late in the game, they would have to take him out because the other team's just trying to run on them so much. They would go five small guys and just try and outrun Ivica, but I mean, he did well, and I feel like that's what helped Ivica a lot, is like learning, like, he's got to be able to run. Like, he can't just stay in the paint, he can't be slow, and that's going to help Thomas Bryant get acclimated to how Luke Walton wants to play, is just run all the time. But if Ivica Zubac, who was a lot slower and
more of a
natural big man than Bryant, I think Bryant will be able to handle it okay.
And Bryant's going to get in better shape as the year goes on, too. Like, he's not coming in perfect shape. I think he'd probably even admit that. I think the Lakers coaches would probably even admit that, because guys just don't come in perfect shape. Lonzo's had conditioning issues. But I think, speaking of Lonzo, like, one benefit for the South Bay Lakers as far as developing guys is something that Anthony and I have talked about a lot during the preseason, and I'm kind of curious for your thoughts, because you haven't been on to talk about him, but Alex Caruso. And he is, like, this is going to sound blasphemous, but he is a little bit like the G League version of Lonzo, just in that he tried to keep the Lakers offense running the same way. He tried to keep that transition going. He tried to get those outlets and allowed the bench unit to play with a similar style that the parent team was playing with. And or that the starters were playing with Lonzo, and it at least gives you that ability. And I think that might help the South Bay Lakers as far as being a development kind of incubator for the Lakers talent.
I would agree, and I think you also have, along with him, you have Vander Blue, who knows how to run the offense with the Lakers. And so, yeah, I mean, Caruso's, like you said, it's not Lonzo Ball, but he looks, once he gets a rebound, once he gets the first outlet, he looks up right away to make another pass. And he doesn't, much like Lonzo, he doesn't care about how many points he scores or how many assists he has. He just wants to win the game, and he wants to put the offense and defense, really, he's a good defensive player too. He's good one-on-one defensively. He just wants to put the team in the right position. So yeah, I mean, like you talked about, he's a good player to have down with the South Bay Lakers to kind of emulate what Luke Walton wants to do.
Yeah, and that would, it would matter even more if it looked like Josh Hart was going to get sent down there, like it kind of looked at the beginning of his career, like he was probably going to spend some time with the G League this year. But he's been impressive. He's probably going to stay up there with the Lakers. So right now, I think what we're looking at is, How can the South Bay Lakers help Thomas Bryant? How can the South Bay Lakers help guys that maybe we haven't heard of yet? Like, maybe the next David Nwaba, because nobody had heard of, like, by this point in the season. I remember it was literally last year. I was at Defenders Media Day, and I was just asking people, like, who's been the biggest surprise of training camp? Who stood out to you? Unanimously, they named Nwaba. And so it made me interested. I followed up a little bit more. Like, and then as the season went on, he was incredible as far as D-League play. And so it might be kind of serving them well in terms of finding the next David Nwaba, in that if they can play that similar style and they can see guys in that system, then they know that they can bring them up with the parent team and that they can have some effectiveness.
Yeah, they'll fit in right away if they can do it down there. There wasn't really that unknown guy talked about today, because it was always Thomas Bryant. So, which, I mean, he was drafted this year. Everyone knows of him. Everyone has him on his radar. Unlike David Nwaba coming out of Cal Poly, who was not drafted, who was traded right on draft day in the G League
Yeah.
D League.
He was on his way to go, he was on his way to the Bay Area to play for, I believe, the Golden State Warriors. No, it might have been Reno. It was Reno or the Golden State Warriors affiliate up there. I don't remember, but he was about halfway when he found out that the Defenders had traded for his rights and that he was going to have to head back, which, you know, I've done that drive up to Cal Poly and back in like less than a day before, and it's kind of brutal sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I don't really have experience with doing up and back in one day, but...
Yeah, so I think the other thing that I wanted to touch on as far as the South Bay Lakers go, the big name addition is Meta World Peace. And Coach Meta is very different than Player Meta. You had never interacted with Meta before today. How was your first Meta World? I was going to try and make like a pun on Scrum there or something, but whatever, we'll just go with it. Like, how was your first Meta experience?
I mean, he's just an awesome guy. Yeah. He's just great. And I had a hard time not, like, I probably had a huge smile on my face the whole time because I don't know who it was, but someone asked about, you know, what coaches has he learned from the most throughout his career. And I think he went back to the time he was 5 years old.
I think he literally named every single.
Yeah, every coach. He listed, like, coaches from high schools in New York, from I think he mentioned a church group in yes. New York
that I started to lose track.
Yeah, there point. Was at least like 30, and he went on for about 2 minutes naming all these coaches. But no, it's Meta. Like he's just such a, seems like such a nice guy. And like, it was great hearing from Kobe Carl that he actually had to ask Meta to talk more.
Yeah, and I actually, and so I asked him, I was like, do you think that's the first time that's ever happened to him? And he said no, like when Meta's not on the floor, he's actually relatively understated, which has not been my experience, but I assume that he is different with the media than he is with his teammates.
But that's also you talking to him like in game form, like after that's a true. Game he's, or maybe at a practice, yeah, usually so after a amped. Game. Yeah, he's still in that game mode. Like he doesn't have that anymore. Like someone else asked, are you going to bring I Love Basketball to the South Bay Lakers? He's like, no, I'm a coach now. Like, what am I gonna yell about? Like, I'm not.
Yeah, I think, what did he say? He said something like I'm gonna talk to them about like their, like where their back foot is on their free throw. So like, I don't think Meta yelling like get your back foot right is gonna catch on quite as much with as I Love Basketball, but you know, he does. I think he seemed to be making a very concerted effort to make sure that people understood that he's not trying to step on Kobe Carl's toes. He's not trying to say that he's the coach of the team. He's there. He's in his role. He was a little bit more, it was the most buttoned up I think I've ever heard Meta.
Oh, I bet. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Like the weirdest thing or craziest thing he was saying was the thing about the coaches, but it is weird that he doesn't want to do too much, you know, yeah. And by that he's almost doing, I won't say doing too little because that sounds like he's not doing his job well. But I mean, the fact that he had to be asked to talk more, and like Kobe Carl said, like players respect Meta. Like he was one of the greatest defensive players individually for 10 years. I mean, he was guarding yeah. LeBron when he was, you know, last couple years, which is crazy.
He was incredible.
So, I mean, those guys can learn a lot from him and just learn from him speaking. And, you know, when a player gets another great player telling them what to do, they just have more, they tend to listen more, you know?
Yeah, they have more credibility. And he can speak to kind of the things that you, like how hard you have to work to be an NBA player and to make it as far as he did.
Exactly. And I'm interested to see, you know, because there's some guys that can play some defense. I want to see if, you know, Meta can have an impact on some guys defensively. I know he's not working with the Lakers, really. I mean, who knows what he's doing?
If he makes a difference in Thomas Bryant's career, he was worth having down there, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like, or if he makes a difference in finding the next Nwaba.
And, you know, I don't think he'll ever do the Luke Walton track, but like that's Luke Walton started in the same position where he did.
I want head coach Meta World Peace. Oh,
that would be the greatest.
So
thing.
Bad. So bad.
This even just like head assistant coach would be
great. Yeah, exactly.
But, like, oh, that would be the greatest.
Can you imagine ever. A Meta post-game, like post-game cut press conference?
No. No. What? Like, would he be furious if they didn't play any defense? Would he just be swinging on?
Like, what would reporters do when they were like, so what did you think of the defense down the stretch? And he's like, and he starts like going into some analogy about like, I don't know. He's Meta World Peace. He just
it was like, what did, I think it was when you asked him about Thomas Bryant. He said he wants him to dream more and be innovate. More innovative.
Yeah. That was like, the Phil Jackson influence.
Yeah, definitely. You even had to ask, well, what do you mean by that? Like, What do you mean dream more? And he's just, it's the way he speaks is just awesome. It's just, it's meta.
Yeah. And so I think he's going to have a good effect on their team. I think, I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I think with Caruso, and we barely even talked about Vander Blue, but Vander Blue was the G League MVP last year. He's going to be back taking on more of a leadership role he was talking about.
And he said he's going to win the MVP again.
Yeah, he just like casually was like, well, you know, I'm going to win MVP again. And so, and we're going to win a title if I'm not with the Lakers.
It was nice to hear Caruso and Kobe Carl talk about him being a leader.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's people I talked to last year, scouts and such, that were down on Vander Blue just because they didn't think he was a good team guy and stuff like that. So to hear that he's, which...
The from opinion, being, literally, from sitting next to those scouts at G League games last year, like, the opinion on Vander Blue among, like, scouting is, like, not amazing. It's not as good as you would think it would be.
No, there was a couple that really liked him, but for the most part, they're like, and it wasn't even, like I just said, so much on the court stuff. It was, they don't think he's a team player, they don't think he's a leader, they think he just wants to score for himself and that's all he cares about. And so to hear Kobe Carl and Alex Caruso say he's totally taken on a leadership role, that was good to hear. And that's really just the next step of his game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone, if you watch him, he can light it up. He knows how to score. So becoming a leader, more of a team player, that was the next thing for him to do. So it's good to hear he's doing it.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be pretty good this year. I think the South Bay Lakers are in for a good season. We recorded this before the Lakers game that's going to play tonight, so we can't comment on that, but we'll have, like, you know, by I don't know why I'm saying this, you will have already listened to it. But thanks everybody for tuning in. Bryant, thank you for rejoining me. We're going to have you on more often now that we're going to be around each other on campus and stuff. So
thank you, yes. Thomas Bryant, for getting me back on the podcast.
Yes, we got our Bryant beat writer back. Follow him on Twitter at Bryant Freeze, and you can follow me on Twitter at HM Fagan, and you cannot follow Anthony on Twitter. I'm just going to give him a shout out because he said I was taking a break during one of the busiest school paper weeks during my life, made fun of me for going to a spa. I was definitely not at a spa. I'm going to set the record straight on that now. And we will talk to you guys later, and thank you for listening. Thank you.